He's a master of air guitar and now air piano.
Yes.
I've been amazed.
You thought I didn't have a lot of talent.
See, and this was what the day off was all about. You were practicing your
piano. My air piano.
So that you could get that perfected just for this moment.
Right.
So, you know,
because I knew you were going to start out the afternoon with the Who.
Of course.
Yeah,
I
knew that.
Well, my name is Jeremy Lawrence, in case you didn't know.
I'm Roger, and I came to work today.
He did.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You kind of some funky glasses on there, I got to say.
I lost my glasses.
Uh-huh.
And this was my spare pair I found under the passenger seat in my car.
They look a little small for you.
Yeah, they are. But I only look at a tablet, and so I don't need a wide field of view. But
I got to say, it's almost sort of a John Lennon look for you.
So yeah. Yeah, well, I look a lot like John Lennon.
And almost as talented.
Yeah,
well,
really.
Not quite.
But no, I spent my whole day yesterday at the veterinary hospital at Michigan State in East Lansing. Mm. And it was a long, boring day, except for about 2 10-minute conversations. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying I was there from 8 in the morning till about 3:30 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I just sat and looked at my tablet all that time, except for 2 10-minute conversations.
But you had to be there the whole time in order to have those.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
When they had test results, they'd mm-hmm. come talk to me. And my dog had surgery this morning, and okay. she's doing just fine.
Okay. Well, at least you come out of it with some good news.
Yes.
That's better than what it could have been,
yes.
I suppose.
Yes.
So.
Actually, very much so. When we went there, we thought she might have cancer. And as it turns out, it wasn't.
Yeah.
But it still needed a surgical fix.
Sure, sure. Yeah, you know, pets are very important to people. And, you know, even in my family, we got kids, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not like kids. But we kind of look at them as the practice kid, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
you know, that's,
yeah.
You know, this is, and we still have our cat from before we had kids. So we still got the practice kid around, you know. And
yep.
She rules the roost, but that's well, another story entirely. So.
What is it? Dogs have...
dogs have families.
Oh, yes. And
cats have a staff.
Have staff.
Yes.
Yes.
And, so, and ours has a staff. You know, we don't believe it, but she does.
Yeah.
So.
Well, my wife and I didn't have kids, and dogs are important to us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And my dog's illness was a trauma in my
certainly.
Family.
Certainly.
And,
absolutely.
Nope. Things are better. I'm back to work. Aren't you happy?
I'll get back to you on that.
I did. I was amazed at how well our signal comes into Lansing.
Oh, really?
And I listened on the way back, heard you, Tanya, on the show with
mm-hmm.
you,
mm-hmm.
and heard you talk about the... the young, I think it was a girl at
the
6-year-old
yes.
who shared
mm-hmm.
her
yes.
Christmas tradition,
mm-hmm.
much to her teacher's chagrin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I was listening.
Okay.
And there is a regular listener in East Lansing to Birdwatch, and he calls regularly. And he calls if we forget to turn up the power in the morning to remind us. But, yeah.
It's nice to have friends all over the place.
The signal came in real good on the way home yesterday.
Great. So here in a little bit, when we talk about Governor Snyder, he could be listening.
Yes, he could be.
In that case, hi, Governor Snyder.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Hi,
okay.
guy. How's it going?
But lots to talk about today. There's been some things happening in the news. Nationally, of course, the president addressed all the NSA stuff, and we've been combing over the details just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We'll chat about that a little bit later. Also, just some weird, weird stuff going on.
The assault case you mentioned
has
to be there at the top of the list.
That is one of the strangest assault cases that I've heard of.
Let's not give any details in case we suffer from good judgment and decide to not bring that up.
Certainly, certainly. But we might talk about that later. I don't know, because it is just so unusual.
Yes.
But
doesn't happen every day, I'm thinking.
Well, I would hope not.
At least not to the point of bringing the police into the equation.
And now people are going, what in the world's it about? We'll tell you, okay? We'll get into it. But one of the things that happened was just a minor little thing that happened in Lansing last night.
Somebody spoke up there. Who was that?
Who was it? Some guy that doesn't like to wear ties. I'm trying to think. Snyder, I think is his name.
Oh, yeah.
The governor guy. Anyway, yeah. But he gave his fourth State of the State address.
What'd you think? He's now your governor.
Certainly.
My guess is you didn't vote for him, so you're not responsible in any way.
There is no way that I could have voted for him at this particular point.
Not living in the state of Michigan. It would have been one of the cases of fraudulent voting that we're concerned about had you voted for him.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the last time I voted in a governor's election was when we lived in the state of Indiana.
Oh, okay.
So I did not get the opportunity as a registered voter in the state of Louisiana.
Okay.
He was up for it, but I think it was just after we'd arrived and we didn't have time to register at the time. So, which he needed no help from me.
Yeah.
You know, down there. But anyway, Governor Snyder, and I have to admit, I listened to portions of it. I was rattling around here working and then attempting to drive my way home in the middle of all that fun snow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to hear bits and pieces of it. Was surprised by, because he did bring up some comments about early childhood education, which I thought was kind of interesting. In fact, I think we've got those comments here. Let's see if we've got those. Apparently we don't. Okay.
Oh. Well, we thought that
we don't have those, but maybe we'll try those here in a little while. But regardless, he did have some comments on early childhood education, which I thought, that's interesting. It's sort of a way to reach across the aisle. I found it refreshing when he would say, I want to give a shout-out, because you certainly don't hear that from presidents when they do a State of the Union. You know,
right.
It's like, yeah, I'd like to give a shout-out. And there's apparently even online, there's a GIF going around that's got when he gives a shout-out to one of the representatives from the Detroit area, who kind of points right back at him, like, right back at you, Gov, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I find that sort of thing refreshing. I think the previews that I'd gotten beforehand is people were saying he's not a terribly gifted speaker and, you know, don't expect a whole lot. And as I listened, I thought, well, okay, I've heard a whole lot worse.
Yeah.
I think he does okay. The fact that he does this from bullet points is rather impressive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think certain things that he didn't get into quite as much, it was interesting he didn't dig in real deep on, hey, we've got this surplus and here's what I'd like to do with it. It was, hey, we've got this surplus and I'll tell you in another month what I'd like to do with it.
Yeah.
He really didn't dig into it too much.
Well, I was I was impressed with the fact that he brought up early childhood education. Mm-hmm. I was surprised. I didn't expect to hear him be supportive of education. Mm-hmm. And the fact he was, I believe he's on to something. Mm-hmm. If you don't get young people started right, it gets increasingly difficult to correct the problem as they go further and further along in the education system.
I'll tell you one thing that strikes me. How would you feel if you're Dave Ageman today? Because while he wasn't called out by name, there was an entire little section of the speech.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was saying, we really need to be able to, you know, work together and not say derogatory things about one another and that kind of thing. And unless you've been in a closet, you know that that he's had a couple of problems, Dave has, with saying a few things.
Stupid.
In fact, he even posted, and it's one of these things that gets forwarded all over the place. He posted on Facebook that somebody had this thing about Muslims not contributing positive things to American society, which he got some flack for again. And I think, gosh, this is one of these things. If your governor is coming out and saying, you know, can't we work together? Can't we stop doing this sort of thing? And you're the only one that's been saying something. That might give you a little pause to say, maybe I ought to sit back and be quiet for a little bit. I don't know.
Governor Snyder and I are not close. But I knew exactly who he was talking about. Everybody knew exactly. He didn't have to mention Ajima's name because everybody knew who he was talking about. I mean, Ajima is the guy that got into trouble with the sheriff of Allegan County for bringing a terrorist into the high school during a high school basketball game.
Oh, boy.
And the sheriff just shut his thing down, made them exit the building. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't have enough staff to offer protection here. And Ajima finds himself in trouble frequently, so frequently, there was no puzzlement on anybody's part.
Certainly not.
Who the governor was talking about in those comments.
Certainly not. Now, I have to admit, I enjoyed, there was a moment from the speech, getting back to the speech itself. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed when he talked about that they were looking at hunting and fishing licenses and how, you know, there were, I forget what the number was that he rattled off. It was a ridiculous number. And then he talked about how they were able to reduce licensing down. And he said, now all the hunters and fishermen out in Michigan, you can waste less time figuring out what license and get out there and catch something and shoot something and have a good time. Which I have to admit, it's, to me, it's refreshing to hear that from somebody giving a speech, because it's not in that standard politician-ese. To a certain degree. Now, I will say this. With the speech itself, if you're to believe nothing but what Governor Snyder says, it's all peace, love, and flowers, and everything's wonderful in the state of Michigan. And we know that's not true. Because we still know that we've got an unemployment problem. We still know that we need to get more jobs.
Second or third highest unemployment in the country.
Certainly.
It hasn't gotten better by much since he's been in office. The thing that bothered me is the surplus we have, he seems to think this was just manna from heaven that fell into his lap. And, oh, my gosh, look at this. Well, when you whack education and start taxing pensions, you raise money. And this money didn't just fall out of the sky. He's raised taxes for people who collect pensions. And yet he seems to feel no obligation to return that taxpayer money. And yet he brought up an income tax cut for his rich sponsors. Income tax cuts are for rich people. They're not for poor people. An income tax cut on a $7.40 an hour job isn't going to make you a living wage. It would certainly be helpful, but income tax cuts are for affluent people. There's where...
But if everybody gets one, isn't it for everybody?
No. No. Not when you raise the money by specifically taxing senior citizens who collect pensions.
Well, we're
going to distribute this in a fair way. We're going to give an across-the-board income tax cut to all taxpayers at the expense of old folks living on pensions.
Well, and that, and that issue aside, and I can sit here and look at that and go, okay, based on what I've seen to this point, I can understand, yeah, that's a bad thing to do. Just looking at it. And I want to dig deeper on it. I really do. But when it comes down to it, if you are cutting taxes across the board, then everybody gets the same percentage. Yeah, it's more money for people that pay more in because it's more money that they're paying in to begin with. So I would say, well, okay, I'm not going to say that's for the wealthy. It's for everybody. You're just getting a little bit of different amounts of money back out of it because you're paying a little bit different in to begin with.
But it makes no difference to people. It makes little difference to the people at the bottom end of it's real dollars for the 1%. And that's who conservatives represent.
Wait a minute. No, don't even go there.
Republicans are the rich white person's party.
Republicans, they've got
are the
ideas.
Rich white person's they, party.
Let me talk. You talk. Now I get to talk. They are a party that for years has not done very well getting their message out there. But if you start going down messages that conservatives have, the idea of hard work and getting ahead, the idea of people being able to lift themselves up, get out of poverty and get jobs and open
and apple
businesses
pie is
and
good.
Things like that.
Motherhood.
This is,
boy, that's
okay,
nice.
I'm talking now. Thank you. If you get all of these messages out, you tell people, hey, how does this sound without saying what party it comes from? Well, yeah, that sounds pretty good. These are the things they stand for, and getting out of the way of people instead of saying, you know what, we're going to tax you, we're going to take the money that you earned and go give it to people that aren't earning a thing.
Tell that to the seniors who are this year paying taxes on their pension.
And there you
thanks
are back
to
there
your
you are
governor.
Back, my governor. My governor? I've been here 2 months. Come on.
That was meant to
my
be a joke.
My governor. Very funny. But and we've already talked about that pension thing. I want to look into it further. It's not something I want to argue with you right now about because I'd like to look into it further myself.
Feel free.
So I intend to do that. But in the meantime, if you're going to say that an income tax cut is nothing but for the wealthy and conservatives are only about the wealthy, that's sadly mistaken.
No, it isn't.
It's sadly mistaken.
No.
Even
George Bush said that the wealthy are his homies. And why do you think Republicans keep talking about the flat tax?
I doubt that George Bush would say the word homies at all.
At the expense of the poor people. And they're all about wealth transfer to the wealthy.
And we can look at Democrats on the other side and say they're all about wealth transfer from the wealthy, who, by the way, start businesses and create jobs.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
They do.
The job creator
okay.
crap.
All right.
Where
show,
are the jobs?
Show
We've
me,
had
show
a Republican a, governor. Where
poor,
are the jobs?
Show me a poor person that creates a job.
Show me a rich person that creates it. Where are the jobs? Michigan's unemployment rate has stayed at the bottom of the country for years now. Mm-hmm. And many of those years have had Governor Snyder in office.
Mm-hmm. And many of those years before he
jobs?
Was there, the unemployment was just where it was. So you can't sit there and blame
but
just him.
He said he was going to bring his posse of job creators to mm-hmm. Michigan if we could just pass right to work, mm-hmm. if we could cut education, if we could do a lot of things.
Now, we haven't
created any jobs.
And on education, we could have a debate separately about that, and I don't know what the answer is on this one. Because Democrats claim that he's cut it. He claims that he's increased the spending. I don't know what the answer is.
He's,
I really don't.
He is stretching the truth. Ask any superintendent of schools in this state if they're getting more money from the state or the same money they were prior to Governor Snyder coming to office. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to Mark Schauer, his opponent.
Certainly not.
I'm suggesting you ask any superintendent of schools in this state what's happened to state funding for education. And there won't be any of them who tell you he's increased funding mm-hmm. for education.
Nevertheless, superintendents are mostly part of the NEA, are they not?
The NEA.
Yeah. Like the NEA, Teachers Union, right?
Oh, I thought that's the MEA.
No,
the
no.
Michigan Education.
Well, regardless, Teachers unions tend to be a little more left-leaning.
No, superintendents are administrators. My wife works for a college. Mm-hmm. The college has unions. Mm-hmm. My wife is an administrator.
Sure.
That's management.
Sure.
And no, they're not a part of unions.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're the opposite. They sit on the other side of the table mm-hmm. from unions.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're all right down the line Rock Rib conservative? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay.
I'm saying they're superintendents of schools. They're not union members.
Okay. So we've been talking state of the state and having a lively little discussion, as we always do. And we'd like to include you in on this as well. 382-4280 is the phone number, or 877-382-4280. Let's take a quick call from Andy before we have to head for our break. Andy, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, thanks a lot, Raj. You put two things together really well. Rich Republicans. And why are they rich Republicans? Because they save money. We save money. We don't overspend. And, you know, I take that as a compliment as a Republican and a relatively wealthy one.
Well, good. I'm quite pleased for you, Andy. What's your point?
My point is, you say that is a bad thing, and it's just the contrary. It's a very good thing.
No, I didn't say it was a bad thing. Well,
you said that tongue-in-cheek, Rog. Republicans.
Republicans represent rich white people. That's the core of their party.
Rich, wait, but boy, Raj, you say that like it's evil. You say it like it's wrong. That's the tone you have in your voice when it comes across.
I can't help how you interpret my tone. I'm saying it as matter-of-factly as I can.
Okay, Andy, I got to run, got a break on top of us.
Thanks a lot, guys. You bet.
You got the show right here, Jeremy Lawrence and
Raj Taylor.
Okay. You sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I looked.
You looked.
I checked my driver's license
before,
during the break.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm
good.
Me.
That's always a good thing, particularly on a Friday, because it's easy to forget.
Well, you want to double check these things.
You know, and on Friday, it slips your mind because you sit around half the day going,
it's Friday.
It's Friday. So I'll tell you what. Doug has been waiting very patiently on the line, so we'll get Doug in here. Doug, welcome. Glad you're with us.
Welcome, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Well, I was led to conversations about, you know, the taxes and all this other stuff and about the poor paying and the rich paying and all that. I make probably about $50,000 a year. In the last few years, I haven't had to pay income tax. With all the credits and stuff, you know, I have a family of four, I have two children. So a lot of the people don't really, you know, that are on the poor end don't really pay taxes per se. So,
well, they may not pay income tax, but they pay taxes.
Well, just like all of us do.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, if a poor person owns a house, they have property tax. When a poor person buys a humidifier for their home, they pay sales tax. And so to say poor people don't pay taxes, that isn't true. They do. They may not have to pay income tax.
Well, that's what we're talking about is income tax, though.
Well, but then... Okay, I thought you were inferring by your comment that poor people don't pay taxes.
No.
If you're just talking about sales or about income tax, yes, then we agree. There are some poor people who don't pay income tax.
Okay, Doug, thanks for staying on the line so long. We appreciate it.
You bet.
Okay, let's head from there. Looks like Rick's hanging on the line here, so let's go ahead and chat with Rick in Portage. Welcome.
Hi, Rick.
Hi. Thank you. Hi. No, you sounded like Roger. I didn't want to talk to Roger. I wanted Jeremy's opinion.
Well, I'm sitting right here.
We're both Roger here. Roger seems to have too much of a communist lean to his opinions on things.
Oh, I wouldn't call him communist.
Communist?
Just misguided.
What color is the sky in your world,
let's
Rick?
Let's be nice to Roger.
Well,
let's just be rational.
Well, I just want to get Jeremy's opinion because he seems to be more at least middle of the road.
He's a fascist. If I'm a communist, then he's a fascist.
Well, he corrected me. He told me to calm it down and not go too far with things. And so
let's let Rick go here. Come on, Rick. Go ahead.
I want Jeremy's opinion. I just want to know, if I'm Hispanic or Asian or let's say I'm black, am I supposed to be, should I be offended when Roger starts talking about rich white people, that Governor Snyder only represents rich white people? To me, that almost sounds bigoted. I guess it depends. Roger might say, I can say that because I'm a white guy.
Well, I don't know.
I'm not understanding your point.
Rick, I don't think
Roger,
he was
Roger,
going from
all right, you can talk now, Roger. Did you say he only represents rich white people?
Yeah.
Okay, well, good. At least you're being honest again.
I'm always honest. You may not like what I say, but...
And it may not be the truth, but...
All right, tell me, was that a right thing to say? He represents the rich white people?
Yeah. That's what the Republican Party is about. They represent affluent white people.
All right, so I'm a really hardworking, industrious black man.
You'd be a fool to vote Republican.
And I've got a lot of money. You don't help me out if I've got a lot of money? Or if I'm a really hardworking Asian guy, I've got a line of restaurants, Asian restaurants, and I'm there.
Did you ever watch the Republican convention?
I'm there before the sun comes up and before the sun goes down, but Governor Snyder doesn't represent me then.
Rick, did you ever watch the Republican convention? How many women or people of color did you see in the audience?
So this is what you're going by then?
Yeah.
And how many people are invited or how many people want to go?
Well, when you look at the Republican Party convention, it is all white men. When you look at Congress, it's white men. The group who... No, I'm not even going there. We've got to get to weather. But, Rick, I stand by my comment that the Republican Party is the rich white person's party. Even Republicans appreciate that. That's why they keep talking about they need to build bridges to people of color. Republicans understand why, as the country changes, they can't just be the party of white people anymore.
Well, thanks, Rick, for your call, and we'll have to agree to disagree because right now we are going to be heading on over to Bob Larson, who is going to be talking about the weather. And Bob, just... looking through the forecast here, I mean, what are we looking at? I mean, I'm seeing an Arctic blast on the way. Is that what we're thinking about here?
We do have an Arctic blast on the way, and I should probably make that plural, Arctic blast, as we have probably three separate shots of Arctic air to contend with over the next 2 weeks. So it's cold and about to get even colder. Each one of these accompanied by some snow and followed by some lake effect snow. So very, very wintry over the next 10 to 14 days across the region. Let's break it down here for the weekend anyway. We've got snow showers tonight, generally not much of accumulation, a low of 15 degrees. There is an Alberta Clipper that'll drop for the northern plains right across the central Great Lakes tomorrow, and the core of that, the core of the snow associated with that, actually slides by to our south tomorrow afternoon and evening. It's going to snow, but the heaviest snows will be to our south. Right now we're expecting an inch or so of snow tomorrow afternoon into the first thing tomorrow evening. You go southward towards South Bend, really any portion of northern Indiana, probably more in the order of 1 to 3 inches from that clipper tomorrow afternoon. And after that goes by, the cold relaxes a little bit on Sunday, upper 20s, but then an Arctic front comes through Monday with snow showers, and then it gets very cold. I mentioned this yesterday. Monday night into Tuesday morning, we are on target to drop below zero. Probably below zero again Tuesday night into Wednesday morning. And so So you get the idea. I could go on from there, but I only have a finite amount of time.
Bob, is the really cold air you're talking about below zero, is that another chunk of the polar vortex?
I'm glad you worded it that way, because that'll lead me to segue into my next. The word of the day is vortex. I wish you could say polar vortex, but the word is vortex because there's a lot of misunderstanding about the polar vortex. I've heard people ask, and I quote, are we going to have another polar vortex? Is there going to be another polar vortex? My friends, there is always a polar vortex. That would be akin to saying, is there going to be another atmosphere? You follow?
Is the sun going to rise?
Right. The polar vortex is essentially where we find the core of the coldest air, and typically it's found over
the polar
region. Right. And from time to time, it migrates southward, or at least a chunk of it breaks off and comes southward. And that's what happens every time we get a shot of cold air during the winter months. It happens year in and year out. When the entire polar vortex, the core of the coldest air across the northern hemisphere, migrates southward as it did 2 weeks ago, then we end up with extreme cold. And the polar vortex itself is going to be A, strengthening, B, pushing southward again over the next 2 weeks. So that's what's about to happen. I don't think the entire vortex is coming this way next week, but it's going to be getting very close to the area once we get to next week, because the week that follows, as cold as next week is, that final week of January, probably even colder.
Wow, way to depress us, Bob. That's great. Question for you, Bob.
Yes, sir.
With these colder temperatures, we've heard an awful lot of talk about the freezing on Lake Michigan,
right.
And are we at that point now where lake effect becomes less of a factor?
It will become less of a factor, yeah.
Okay.
We saw a good portion of the lake freeze up with the last blast of cold air. That process stopped over the past week to 10 days when there was some moderation, and actually we saw a little bit of melting of the ice, but it'll redevelop, and the freezing will expand again with these next surges of cold air, so that with each reinforcing front that comes through, there won't be as much lake effect as what we would otherwise see if, say, this were December when there was really no ice on the lake. So although there will be lake effects now from time to time during this cold siege over the next week or two, it won't be as pronounced as what it would have been otherwise, but there will still be some.
Bob, before we look at the year to date, if the lake freezes over, will that augment lake levels? Will the lake lose less moisture, and will that help raise the lake levels?
Not really.
Okay.
The moisture, when we end up getting lake effect snow, it's not literally moisture that's sucked up like a vacuum out of the lake and deposited here. It's mostly a function of there's some moisture that's already in the air surrounding the lake because you're over a body of water. And then when it gets colder, you squeeze that moisture out the way you squeeze moisture out of a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as though that we're taking a lot of moisture away from the lake during lake effect outbreaks. And the fact that we would freeze it probably would have little, if any, effect one way or the other in terms of lake levels.
Okay.
once the ice melts.
You're the man.
So anyway, if I explain the vortex enough. I think so. There's a lot of misunderstanding about it.
On top of that, yeah.
It's a term that suddenly came into fashion about 10 weeks ago, and that's all we've been hearing lately.
Now, Bob, since this is Friday, we have to get into the numbers for weather nerds like Roger and other ones not named Roger.
Right. And we can make this quick because, as I've been saying, in January, the month and the year, it's one and the same. So we'll just run right through this. To this point, last January, we were at 29.8 degrees. That's cold, but that's actually 5.3 degrees milder than average. This January, 18.7 so far, 5.8 below average. Precipitation-wise, pretty close. Last year at this point, 1.54, that's 0.63 above. This year, 1.35, that's 0.44 above. The big difference is in snow. The seasonal total of snow, total for the entire season, last year at this point, only 4.7 inches. We now stand at 46 inches, almost 10 times as much snow as last winter season at this point. For the actual month of January, so far last January, we had a half inch of snow. This January, we're already at 22.9.
I'd like to note that you not once have volunteered to plow my driveway.
Yeah, I didn't work that into the conversation, did I? And I'm out of time, so.
Suddenly he has to go.
Yeah. I know how to get him on.
You had to get rid of me, right?
Right. Thanks, Bob. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Have a good weekend.
Stay warm.
All right. So Bob Larson there with AccuWeather. We continue ahead with the program. You keep it right where you got it.
46 inches of snow.
It's great if you want to make igloos, I guess. And I know you've been waiting for this one. I know you've been waiting for this one, Roger.
I'll bet. I thought it was the Stones at first.
Oh, this?
Yeah.
No, this. We had this discussion before. This, the Sugar Hill Gang.
Okay. So, okay. It's funny. No, I still didn't recognize it.
I wasn't even talking about the music. I was talking about the story we're about to talk about.
Oh, I thought you were referring to the music.
No. Ah. I know what you're waiting on.
Yes.
Something really terribly exciting and new.
Yes. Surprising.
Yeah. Now, this particular story is surprising, I think.
Where did this happen? I can't get the story out.
Looks like it's
right
in
now.
Florida.
Okay. Oh, that explains it all. Florida.
Which I've heard that's sort of a vortex for the strange.
Yes.
But, I don't know if it's just its closeness to the Bermuda Triangle or what. I don't have any idea.
Yeah.
But apparently, a brother and sister got into an argument.
As brothers and sisters do,
certainly.
I'm told.
Certainly.
I was an only child, but
it happens, yes.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I had two brothers.
Did you ever get into fights with them?
Oh, never. Yes, my head was going up and down, I have to say. But,
yeah.
In this case, a 21-year-old sister was upset with her brother. They were having an argument. They began fighting in their kitchen. This happened, apparently it was this Wednesday that this happened.
Ah.
And she got so upset, she threw a tampon at him.
And that's not where the weirdness begins. And from here, it gets weird.
Which, I mean, they didn't say whether or not it was
a clean one
or whatever, and I'm not going there.
Oh.
So I don't want to know. One way or another, I don't want to know.
Not even inquiring minds want to know that, Jeremy.
Now, apparently, it went from there. She lunged at her brother, punched him in the face and chest, and scratched his neck. Police were called.
That's where brothers and sisters getting into an argument.
Sure.
No police necessary.
And for the most part, you've got, you know, you've always got the mother or father to, come on, break it up.
Yeah.
Come on, what are you doing?
Did any of your altercations with your brother ever become physical?
Of course.
Okay. So were the police involved?
No.
That's when I say it gets weird.
Yeah. Somebody decided, better call the police.
For assault with a tampon.
Apparently. And they noted in their reports that her brother had visible injuries to his bottom lip, chest, and neck. Now, I'm thinking
she's a fighter.
It had to have been the punching and scratching and all of that, because I can't imagine that one of those would have caused that much damage.
Although, I have never been hit by one. Have you?
I have not, no.
So neither of us are speaking from experience here.
So anyway, she's being held on domestic battery charges. I would imagine for the punching and scratching, not for the throwing of said feminine product.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also holding her without bond, which I find that even stranger. There must be something else to this story.
Methinks this isn't the first time the family has come to the attention of the police, perhaps?
One would think.
Maybe we have a track record that we're running on here, Jeremy.
Now, and I wish, sadly, on the radio, you can't see the mugshot. The mugshot is staring me in the face, and she has this look like, I'm so sorry. So,
now, she is one of the sorriest looking humans I've ever seen.
So, apparently, this is what, you know, I guess I feel at least a little bit better being in the state of Michigan. I have not heard of assault with a feminine product in the state of Michigan, only in the state of Florida right now. I mean, it's possible, but...
But, and the police having to break up a sibling dispute, I think that's relatively uncommon.
Well, I think it happens from time to time, depending on where you are and that kind of thing. But it's not as widespread as all this.
You would think. And the fact she's being held without bail, that would suggest that a judge somewhere said, I've seen you before, and I'm tired of this.
Now, get this. She's going to be in jail for a little while as she waits, because February 5th is her court date. I'm just imagining this particular proceeding. I mean, what kind of jury do you get that would look in on, would you just automatically flush out all the drugstore employees that that would be selling these products? I don't know. I mean, you just
no
have to ask
pun this intended
question.
There,
certainly
right?
Certainly not. Certainly not. Hey, some of those things aren't flushable, but besides.
But
so she's going to be sitting in jail for a while, thinking about the error of her ways.
Yes, she'll have time to reconsider her familial relationships.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, we're not convicting her of anything. We wouldn't want to do anything like that. So, allegedly,
yes,
she threw a tampon at her brother.
Yes.
At least this is what the police are saying. But
the courts will decide if a true crime was committed there.
But is it a crime against him or against feminine products? One never knows.
Well, wasteful at the very least. We gotta go, gotta go. Where we gonna
go? The trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.